Repent and renew. If you're wondering why I stay in this area, it's because so many people that think they have found God have never truly repented. So many people think that everything's going to be okay just because they call on the name of the God, have not even taken the first step because there are wrong teachings in the church body today. Amen? So when I'm talking to you, if you notice, in this first year of ministry that you are in, I stay in a very basic format in the words of Jesus, and I use a little Old Testament. In years to come, I will teach the deepness of the Old Testament, but first I must have people that have arrived at that point. Amen? Now the Old Testament is a sense of things to come. The New Testament is what is current. They are all interrelated just like a hand in a glove. But indeed, I believe, and me and my wife have talked about it, the first thing we must teach about is Jesus. You must learn about Jesus, how good Jesus is, and when you learn of His love, then it's going to be easier for you to receive all the teachings of God. Because if you go up to a person that's a knucklehead and beat them on the head one more time with a bat, all they're going to want to do is take a bat and beat you. Right? But if you go up to a knucklehead and you love on them and love on them and love on them and love on them, that's going to break down the barriers, and then they're going to want to love on you. Are you hearing me? And Jesus is the one that came and loves us all. But I want to just take and teach on this, and the Bible study's name will be Repent and Renew. It's two concepts, but there is order to it. The first one is repent. And I want to go here to Matthew 18, and I'm going to start in verse 10. And these are the words in red. These are the words Jesus spoke, and I'm going to pray. Father God, today I ask you, Jesus, that you be in this place, that your Holy Spirit reign today. That, Lord, it be in everybody's heart and mind to do well in you, God. That we learn of how good you are so that we'll desire to do well, God. That we take the time to explore that relationship that you want to develop with us so that we draw closer and closer and closer to you. And God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit help us in every way this day to do those things. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. You see, I believe the words in red, the words of Jesus, are inviolate. I believe if you're going to start anywhere in the Word of God, you have got to listen to what exactly Jesus said, and you've got to know that He is the Son of God, and you can't change none of it. And if you're going to start somewhere in the Bible, then you must start with Jesus, who is the only way you get to go to the kingdom of heaven anyway. So whatever He says must be the first truth that you learn and apply. Amen? And in Luke 18, verse 10, He's talking in parables again. He used parables to teach. And He says, two men went up to the temple and pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now the Pharisees of the day were the religious right, and the tax collectors would be along the lines of our IRS people today that are so reviled in this country. But actually they were much worse. They were total scoundrels. Alright? They always took more than they were supposed to. They lived in nice houses. They actually were collecting money, not for their country, but for another country that had put Israel underneath the thumb, if you will. Amen? So they were collecting money for foreigners, which made them much reviled in their own country. Okay? You got to get a sense of the whole thing to get the understanding that you need. So the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. He is a self-righteous religious person. Somehow he believes that his righteousness is going to get him into heaven. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, today, what I want to get you to understand is that you can't be righteous in your approach to God. You must be humble. You can't stand on your laurels. You must acknowledge the truth that every day we need His mercy and grace. Every day that goes by, we have sinned in some way. Every day without His strength, we are going to go nowhere without Him. And so we must approach Him with the full knowledge of who He is, who is God Almighty, and ask for His forgiveness so that we can be in right relationship with Him once again to continue on our day. Amen. Every day must begin with, I'm sorry, I blew it. Every day it must begin with, praise you, God. I am so glad that you've come into my life. I thank you for your unending mercy and grace. Every day, you must keep that sense of the fact that you are dealing with the Almighty God. You must have that awe in your life. Because that is what makes you know that you are truly in relationship with the living God. Amen? Now let me go on to the next part of what I'm trying to speak about this morning. So it says, then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. It says, assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will know by no means enter it. Are you getting this? The next thing that God is telling you is, I don't care how old you think you are. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care how slick you think you are. You must come to me as a little child with a wide open heart, ready to receive me for who I am, and you must recognize that in fact, you and me are not on the same level, although you are my child, and you must remember that I need to teach you, and you must come with a teachable spirit. Amen? When I first got saved, I shared with you many times that I thought God was very mean to me, because He put me underneath the biggest nipple heads I'd ever been in my life and told me to submit to Him. I mean, some of these guys I thought at that time were dumber than a whole box of rocks. They had no sense, no brains, and no will to have any. Oh, they were my first pastors. And I had confrontations to a degree with them because they would tell me things that you must become Christ's slave. And I was sitting there going, you're out of your stinking mind. There's no way I'm ever going to be anybody's slave. Are you getting it? You see, nobody wants to hear the truth that you are not very smart when compared with God's infinite knowledge. And I really like it. Those people that have always made things happen for themselves in their life, when they are told, hey, you must let God do those things and get out of His way. See, there's a common statement in the world today that is a lie out of the pit of hell. And it is this one that is said much in the church even. God helps those who help themselves. Show me that scripture and verse. What chapter is it? What book is it? Show it to me. It is non-existent. It does not say nowhere in the Bible, go to school and get a PhD so I can do great works through you. Show me that scripture. Show me that verse. It is not true. Are you getting this? What it says is love me with all your heart, body, soul, mind, and strength. And follow me. That's Jesus. And I will take you to your destiny. That's what it says. You see, the world has perverted the Word of God. The world has perverted you. You are perverted if you just came out of the world. You don't think right. You don't act right. You don't talk right. You speak death into your life because the power of life and death is in your tongue. I'm too slow. I can't do this. You know what you are doing? Is you are assuring yourself that you are slow and you will never do those things. You profess curses in your life. I'm no good. I don't have enough education. I can't read. I can't write. I can't memorize nothing. I can't. You are the one now that is holding yourself back from what God has for you. You are professing through ignorance into your life your own curses that you are never going to get past until you learn the truth of God. God didn't say, I will help those who help themselves. God said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God said, if you have a need of wisdom, ask of me, and I will supply it liberally. What's your job? Ask. And when you're asking, believe. Amen. Are you hearing this? You see, because if you would quit talking to yourself in a down mode and start believing the Word of God, which is the up mode, your life will radically change. That's why you must be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm here to tell you that if I could, I would take every new believer that comes into the Christian world today and I would take them out of the churches. Out! Because it is the worst place to put a person. Because the church is full of people that don't know nothing. Even though they go to church. I would put them in a motel room with a shower and a door and a pot for them to do you know what in. And I would have a slot to slide food in. And 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for a year, I would force feed them Jesus, 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 the Word of God, Jesus. Because if they would do that, they would come out of there with fire that would change the world. But sending them to church is not the ideal situation. Because the church is not taught correctly and they're full of half-stepping, worldly, carnal Christians. And new believers get the ideas that this is the standard and it never was. Oh, Dominic, what are you saying? The truth! You see, people, you gotta repent, which means you're sorry. And then you gotta be renewed, which means that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. You gotta get rid of your crap, all your stuff, all your worldly teaching, throw it out! And if you do not throw it out, then you'll be full of all that wrong thought and never go to the place God has already chosen for you. Everybody told me, you know what? I can tell you time after time. You know, I'm a convict. I was a convict. In my old life, I was a convict. But I am a new creation today. You understand? The Bible said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But people would tell me that you can't be a pastor, and you can't be a teacher, and you can't do a great work for God, and they're full of crap. Did you get that? And I meant it just like I said it. They are more of the doubt sayers. They are more of the naysayers. They will hold you down because of your past. And God is not interested in holding you down, but elevating you through Him. You see, when God said He forgave you, it means He not only forgave you, but He gave you a new life. Who's that lady that used to have a healing ministry? Catherine Kuhlman. Let's talk about her for a minute. Well, I mean, it's her story. I'm just telling it to the best of my feeble ability. She was a divorced woman. Amen? And she was starting into a relationship with another man. And she loved this man. And as a matter of fact, even later on in her life, she used to, on Valentine's Day, go lock herself alone in a room and cry about that man that she could no longer see. But the Lord told her, He said, Catherine, I want to use you, but you got to make a choice. Now, He didn't tell her, I'm condemning you because you're a divorced woman. Amen? He didn't say, I'm condemning you at all. What He told her is that you can't go where I want to take you if you have Him. You make that choice. And she made that choice and started one of the greatest healing ministries this century ever knew. Amen? But He didn't come up to her and say, hey, you can't do it because you're divorced. He didn't come up to her and say, hey, you can't do it because you're not perfect. The Lord came up to her and told her that if you would indeed give me your whole love and truth, I will use you mightily. Amen? And later on, when her ministry got pretty good and pretty big, there was some reporters and stuff came up to her, and you know, because she didn't advertise the fact she was divorced, because in her time it was probably not a right thing to do, and it still isn't. It's just more predominant. Amen. And they came up and they confronted her and they said, you know, I heard that you were a divorced woman, and she got irate. And she stuck out that bony little finger at them people and said, I have news for you. That Catherine that was is dead. And this Catherine that you see before you lives in Christ. You see, the truth of the scriptures are these. You become a new creation when you indeed accept God in your life. All old things have passed away. All things have become new. You see, people, I took myself and I made some big mistakes in my life. And I acknowledged that, yes, I was the one that was dumber than a box of rocks. Yes, I had absolutely no sense. Yes, stupid attacks were a daily affair in my life. I mean daily, and multiple times daily, I would do very stupid things. But the day I came to the Lord, I received Him, and from that day forward, I have believed Him, but I could not listen to people around me. I had to get into the Word of God and find out His truth, because people pervert the truth. And He said, behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. He said that unless you come to me as a little child, you will in no way enter the kingdom of heaven. So I had to make a decision to die and become a babe. I had to decide that no matter how wise I thought I was, I had now become ignorant. And I had to take every word that he had to say and put it in my mind and make my thinking think right. You see, it's easier for a baby to learn the truth than an adult. But the truth of the Word of God is that we all become babes. When we find God, we just got to make ourselves get into that mental state. You see, people, today, what I'm trying to tell you is there are two key ingredients that must happen in your life. And you know, most places aren't going to tell you this. They're going to say a lot of different things. But I'm going to tell you that you must repent, which means walk away from your old life and who you used to be. And then the next thing you must do is you must make sure you renew your mind according to the Word of God, not according to what people say. Are you getting this? The Bible said the doctrines of men make the Word of God to no effect. I'm here to tell you that you can do anything. Why? Because the Bible says that those things that he did, you can do also. See, I'm waiting for the day when I go lay hands on a person that's dead and I watch them rise. I'm expecting it. I'm walking in expectancy of those things as I draw closer and closer to the Spirit of God. I'm waiting for the day when I lay hands on the eyes of somebody you cannot see. And they see. I'm waiting for the day when I put hands on the ears of people that cannot hear and they hear. I'm waiting for those days because I know they're coming because the Word of God is true and men are liars. And when people tell me I can't do a great work for God, they're full of crap. Because it's not me that does the work anyway. It's God in me as I submit unto Him. So why can't it be that my past is influencing the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow? My job is to be renewed and filled with His Spirit and belief so that I can believe all things are possible. And when you believe all things are possible, then all things are. No, I wasn't kidding. I would put everybody in a motel room by themselves. If you think I'm joking, then you don't know me at all. And I've been working on that for a long time and asking the Lord to show me how I can do these things. He hasn't spoken yet, but I'm in expectancy. You know what I mean? The discipleship that we have here is probably, and Pastor Tommy tells me it's the best in the country. Now, I don't know that. But I gotta believe him because he is my authority and you know what? He knows some things. Right? But I'm sitting here telling you that I don't believe it's the best it can be. And I'm always looking to improve what is already existent in God. You know what I mean? I'm not looking to make everybody angry at me, but you know what? There's too many people even in this room that are looking at people instead of Jesus. Jesus is the solution to everything, not people. I can't solve your problems. I can't solve your pain. I can't bring you a closure to that gaping gap that's in your life, but He can. So if you spend as much time seeking Him as you walk around getting advice from people, you'd probably already be healed. And we all need a healing from our worldly ways. And we all need to be renewed from our worldly mind. And we all need to become as children and start all over again. And you see, that's the truth of the Word of God. You know, every day I get more and more excited. And I know a lot of preachers sit there and they act like they're all excited. You know, you look at them on stage, they're all whoop-de-doo, you know. I'm not like that. But every day I walk out the things that I'm supposed to do because I know in the mundane things of serving God is greatness. I mean, the getting up every day at the same time, the praying every day at the same time, the doing the things you're supposed to do every day at the same time are how great things come upon you. You know, a lot of people seem to think that one day God is just going to walk up to them and here he is or she is, and he's going to grab them, and then, you know, it's going to be like from then on, life is going to be wonderful. But I'm here telling you that you got to do the things you're supposed to do every day, and someday in the history books, because you won't even recognize what happened, because you'll be walking it out every day. They're going to write about you and say, you know, they did this, and they did that, and they're going to talk about those great things that were accomplished with your life, but in your life, they will just be part of your everyday thing. Do you understand? You see, a lot of people have this Hollywood fantasy thing going on. They're thinking about specific scenes and events. And I'm sitting there telling you, I'm talking about a life in Christ. Amen. And in a life in Christ, there are many miracles. But they don't necessarily have big old stars and 4th of July fireworks going off around them. It's just as you're walking along, you go, wow, that was cool. But you keep walking. Are you getting it? You see, people, what I want you to get is a sense of truth. And the sense of truth that you need to get is all things are possible. I'm going to end with this one verse. And then I'm done. I think. I'm never sure. Says, I'll get to that verse after about 8 or 10 more. It says, now a certain ruler asked him, a ruler, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept for my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. This is a key verse. This is a hinge verse. You got to follow him. That's the hinge verse. You got to follow him. That is the way you get there. You determining your own path is not going to be following God. Amen. It says, and when Jesus saw that he became sorrowful, because he did, he had great possessions, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? They think they got it going on. Some of you think you got it going on. Some of you think you got it figured out. But it's not true. You got to figure that it's God that takes you through, because that's the only way you're going to go through. Amen? And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, the things which are impossible for men are possible with God. You see, I know it's impossible for me as a man to lay hands on a sick and then rise. And I know it's impossible for men to lay hands on the dead and watch them get up and live. And I know it's impossible for men to lay hands on eyes and then people see. And I know it's impossible for men to lay hands on the ears and people hear. But you see, I also know with God, all things are possible if you believe. You see, the biggest problem we have in our lives is not the availability of God's blessings in our life, because God is always God. What must happen in our life is that we must learn to believe, and that's what the renewal of the mind is all about. You see, you got to trust God. You got to learn to trust God. And you got to learn to follow God. And when those things become dominant in your life, you're going to live a life of many miracles. And people will talk about you long after you're gone, irregardless if you've been divorced, irregardless if you've been to prison, irregardless if you've been to jail, irregardless if you've been through multiple relationships. Because you see, when the God factor gets so big in you, what they're going to see is Jesus, no longer you. Are you getting it? Because you see, you got to get ready for the greatest event that's going to take place in your life. And that great event is going to be that faith walk that you start on whenever you get real belief in your life. All things are possible to those who believe. Father, I love you, God. And let it be today that each person in this room gets a hold of this study. And in this study, God, they receive the truth, which is you, God. You are the answer for every occasion. And I thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.